The following is an interview with Mrs. Florence Price, conducted May 7th, 1973. Mrs. Price is 93 years of age and first came to South Texas in 1910. She is at this time residing at Retama Manor, a rest home for the aged, Kingsville, Texas.
Well, I come from Pine Bluff, Arkansas, to Houston and then down here.
What part of Texas did you first come to?
Houston.
Houston?
Yeah.
And that was 1910?
March 1910.
What were some of the things taking place in Houston at that time?
Well, you know, my husband's a barber, and he come in, and he couldn't get work there, only just little, wasn't living wages, so we lived with my father 5 months. And he was in the barber shop there on Main Street in Houston. And a friend of his passed by that he gave the first shave to. And the man walked back, he says, "Am I seeing something or am I right? That looks like Barbara Price that gave me my first haircut." Mr. Price got up, he said, "Well, I certainly am, Jim Duff. What in the world are you doing way down here?" "Well," he says, "I'm running from here to Houston, to Kingsville." Well, he asked him then about what barber business was down here, and he told him the barber here needed a barber. So he said, "Well, when you go back, if he still needs a barber, you let me know." So he come back, he said, "Price, he wants you on the first train." Mr. Price said, "I can't quit my barber job till Saturday. I've got to give him some day's notice." So Sunday morning, he left and come to Kingsville. And then a week later, his family come. That was his wife and four children. We arrived here Saturday afternoon, March the 13th. And we got off the train, and I knew Saturday was a busy day with barbers. So I said to him, I said, "Mr. Price, if you can show us where the house is, we'll try to find it and let you go back to your work." Well, he said, "You go right straight down Fifth Street here till you get the stone house down there. That's called the Watson House. And then you go two blocks back west." And he says, "It's a little house, got a ladder on the front porch next door to Jones's." So when we arrived there, there was a young lady sat standing in the yard. And I said to her, I said, "Which house does Jones live in?" She says, "Well, there's five lives in the neighborhood. Which one do you want?" Well, of course, I was dumbfounded, because I didn't know one Jones from the other. So I said, "Well, Mr. Price said he rented the house with the ladder on the front porch, and I'll see if the key fits the door." So we went in, the key fit the door, and we stayed there 3 years. Then we moved over on what you call Santa Gertrude Street and Third Street. We stayed there 59 years. 56 years. And then I lost my sight, and my daughter lost her mind, and we couldn't live there any longer, so we had to make a home and a place to take care of us. So here she is here without any mind, and I'm here without much sight. And so, in between then, of course, I lost my husband, I lost a daughter, and my oldest son had got grown and got married. He'd left home, and my middle girl, she'd married and left home. My oldest girl was still with me, and she finally married and left and went to the Lord. Then after she lost her husband and come back here, the day he was buried, I believe 10 years, she lost her mind. And of course, that was the end of our day on 3rd and Santa Gertrude.
Mr. Price, when you first came to Texas, what was it like down here? Was there a lot of people around?
Lots of people here?
Mm-hmm.
I lived in tents and under trees. Any place they had a place to stick their head, because there wasn't enough buildings here. The only house we could get was this little house over on Lott Street. And so we finally stayed there 3 years, and then we found this house out on Santa Gertrudis, and we went out there.
Mm-hmm. You were saying earlier that trail out there along Santa Gertrudis is where they used to bring the cattle into market?
Oh, yes. When we first went out there, that was known as a ranch road. And the ranch used to drive their white-faced cattle down that road, over the railroad track, then over the bridge, and into the cattle pen. The cattle pen is still standing out there north of town. Anybody wants to go out and see that cattle. But while they said it was the largest loading cattle pen in this part of the country. And they finally, the town got so big, they had to move the cattle, and they'd take it down the creek, and then carry it down the creek till they got to the bridge, and then they'd go up over the bridge and then go into their cattle pen to load their cattle. The ranch was a, well, what would you call it? A big shipping center with the cattle. They first had the white-faced cattle, and then they got the Bramers, and then they got the, I believe they call them now, let me see now, I forgot. It's a big red cow, I believe they call it, so. Oh, well, I'm not in the cattle business, so.
Santa Gertrudis.
Young man over there, he can tell you more than I can.
You were telling me earlier a little bit about the founding of the high school, the Henrietta King.
Oh, yes. 1910, September, the first Monday was Labor Day. The next day, school was open. And, of course, we had to climb over the fence because it was barbed wire fence around it to keep the donkeys and the cattle out of the building. And we had to go over what's called a stile. It was steps over the wire. And people said, well, what in the world did Miss King buy, build such a big building for? It was as big as it is now, not quite as big. And so in another year, the Mexican school had to be built over on the east side because our boys wouldn't let the Spanish boys come to our school. And so the Spanish people went to the school board and said they had to have a school for their children because our boys wouldn't let their boys come over here. Mm-hmm. So that's how come the East Ward School built. And I used to have a picture, of course, since I've had to break up housekeeping, but you'll find the picture at the Kodak man downtown, I can't call his name right now, has the picture of the high school and the whole, see, it was a grammar school and high school all together. The little donkey and his cart was always hitched in the corner in the east south corner that one of the boys drove in from a mile and a half out of town, and he'd always hitch his donkey and cart there. And so there was a, we had a person come down here. She was niece to one of our doctors. She had a boy about, 10 years old, maybe not quite so old. He walked out and he says, on the back porch there, he says, I can whip any cowboy that is on the ground out here. One cowboy, he walked up, he says, I'm the cowboy that can give you a licking. So he said, Blue Belly Yankee. You know, that's an old saying, they don't call it anymore. So they went fighting. They had to run in and get the superintendent to come out and keep them from fighting. Mm-hmm. That boy now still carries the name of Blue, because he got that when he was fighting, and it never did leave him. And he's now in the nurse's home in Brownsville. The other boys done paid his debt in the war. It was giving the licking. He was born on the ranch out here.
What were the relations, Mrs. Price, between the ranch and Kingsville at this time?
Do what?
What were the relations between the King Ranch and Kingsville in the early 1900s?
Oh, I don't know, honey.
Was there any resentment toward the ranch?
Well, I'll tell you this. The King girl, the Clayburgh girl, was in New York. And someone asked her why Kingsville was. She says it's a little town down yonder in Grandma's pasture. So it went by that for years. Of course, they've all passed on now. And you take Yoakum Hill out here, and just as you leave the college there, where the 144 highway goes to Alice, right there on top of that, on the gate there, is a house that they've got to have permission to go through there to go to the ranch. Right to your left there was what Yoakum bought. Is his home. He built his home there and made a little orange orchard there. And he had a fine orchard there till I believe in about 19 and, now let me see, we come in 10, 11. 11 or 12, we had a freeze down here that froze all the citrus fruit we had out here. We had a lovely nursery built from the Castle of Carter back three blocks, and that was a lovely citrus. Let me see if I can remember the man's name. That, you remember Mr. Burrish?
No, ma'am, I don't.
That is before your days.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, right now I can't tell you who was the boss of it, but he run that citrus fruit till the freeze froze it down. It never was rebuilt. And back at the high school, they were building a sidewalk in front of the high school, and the rocks there, the boys would use those rocks chunking the Mexicans back across the railroad track, and the girls would go out there and take their dress skirt and fill it full of rocks and pour it down in front of the boys after they'd passed the rock pile, so they'd have enough rocks to still chunk at the Spanish boys. Now that not to be told. Well, mustn't know so much. Now what else you want?
What was the general feeling toward the Mexican Americans at this point? Was there a lot of resentment on the part of the Anglos?
What was what?
Was there a lot of resentment on the part of the Anglos toward the Mexican Americans?
Yes, because we had come from another country, you see, and we're all newcomers down here, where you wasn't used to these Mexicans. They were called Spaniards now, but then they were called Mexicans. And of course, there's quite a resistance there. But they've now become in, let's see, we've been here nearly 64 years. So that has done all been buried, and they all chum with one another now. I don't think there's any resistance between them now. Are they, Mr. Burrish?
Not too much.
He mixes with the public more than I can, and he's got a younger mind now than mine, and he's in public work. Now, he can tell you a whole lot. Oh, no, Mr. Burrish, you can tell some now, won't I? I stretched that a little bit. Well,
Mrs. Price,
and what else you want to know?
Well, some people say that the resentment the Mexican-Americans had toward the Anglos was partially because of the Mexican-American War and the territory we took from them. What do you think about that?
Well, now, Mr. Burrish, you know anything about that war business?
No, ma'am. That happened a long time before we come here.
Before you come here.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that scares to death. Oh, that's too old far and too old, too gone far back. And more people can tell you more about that than I can. You take, what's that engineer lives over the Methodist Church? What's his name? Oh. Oh, yeah. Well, remember, cap will open up in a minute. He fired the first, now I won't say the first engine, but he was an engineer here for years. Murray, Harry Murray. Now, he can tell you about that mixed with the war with the Indians, I mean with the Spaniards here, because I was a married woman, I had my family, and I stayed home with them, and I didn't mix with the public like that, and I wouldn't try to tell you anything because I wouldn't get it straight. You'd have to get somebody that knows a little bit more about it. But Harry Murray can tell you all about that. Because Harry was a young man then, and he stays with a younger person, and does a housekeeping woman. I stayed home taking care of my family.
You were telling me a little bit earlier about the homeseekers that came down here in 1915,
1916. Well, let me see if I can job my memory box up that deep. Well, whenever they bring a train of homeseekers in here, they call them homesuckers. And they always got off and ate breakfast at the Castle of Carter. And shall I tell this or not? And they wanted to entertain them, so we had a hotel here where the Clayburgh Bank is built now. It's called the Miller Hotel. And Miller was a great man to entertain people, so he had a good fence built around the backyard. So they won the badger fight. So, must I tell it, Mr. Burris? Maybe you don't know it. Well, they'd take a chamber and put a gingerbread in there and tie a rope to it, and then they'd bet and spend lots of money betting on the badger eating there. See, what was the dog up something? I don't know what now, it's been so long. And when they pull that rope out, they seen what it was. Well, every fellow just hollered and hooped and tore the money pieces up and went home with a joke. That's years, years ago when there was lots of fun here for the homeseekers. They were entertaining the homeseekers. Mm-hmm. Well now, can you think of anything else? Well, I'll tell you one thing that like scared the light out of her during that wartime. They had the Mexicans would come as far as Cerrito down here, and it was noticed that they were going to come through here and raid Kingsville. They were trying to get to the ranch was what they were trying to do. Some devilish person, well, I don't take that back, some mischievous person put some torpedoes on the railroad track down there, and when the switch engine went over, they began to shoot. So the men all grabbed their guns and they waving all head, thought there was a Mexican raiding the town. That was way back yonder in 1915. That was one of our scares. And you talk with Harry Murray and he'll tell you about him pushing the conductor inside of the stove room and keep the Mexicans from killing him when they held the train up down here at Cerrito. We had hot times here in the old town that time. Well, when we moved out there on Santa Gertrudis, the ranch road was known then, our house was there and there was one more between us and the Yokel Hill. That was all vacant there. But in later years, it's built up till he can't find a vacant spot. Well, now let's see what else you want to know, honey.
You were telling me also earlier about the Old Rivera Resort Hotel out here. When did they start that resort hotel out of Rivera Beach?
Oh, Rivera Beach, it was built when we come here. It was a noted place for the Kingsville people to go down there. They had the pier all of it. You'd have to find somebody. Now, I'll tell you, Myrtle Foltz, she worked down there, and she could tell you more about that beach than I could. I wouldn't try to tell you because it was built when I come here, and we had the pier, and we go down and had the bathhouse, and we had the pier, and we go down in holidays and have a big time down there with our picnic and going in water. Some of us never had the chance to go in bathing in the fresh, in the salt water like we did down there.
You were saying something about you were down in what was it, Mission? What was it like down there in Mission?
No, I don't know anything about Northern Kingsville.
Oh, you've only been in Kingsville?
No, I don't. I know. Now, these people used to live.
That's all right, honey. That's all right. Just don't bother about it.
What, you want me to take a medicine?
I want you to take it.
Oh, and now if my daughter had her mind, she could just tell you a whole lot of it. It stayed with her. She was young and grew up with it. Mm-hmm. My other daughter's coming next week. I don't know whether she'd remember anything or not. She might be able to tell you more than I could.
Well, Miss Price, do you remember some of the leading citizens in Kingsville here when you first came?
Some of the citizens? Mm-hmm.
Some of the founding fathers?
Charlie Flato was a noted builder here. He wanted the town to build, him and his father. And the Flato used to have a big hardware store here, and it went broke here this past year. And then the Barnett and Laws, Barnett is dead, but Laws is still here. Now Laws could give you a good history of the town. And they used to, when it rained, the water, the mud would come up to the hubs of the cars, and the people thumped nickels out there, and the little Mexicans out there, hunt those nickels in the horse tracks. You talk with Mr. Laws that carries the Barnett Laws men's clothing store. He'll give you a good history of the town, because he's been here ever since we were here. He's a young man that grew up here, and he's been in this men's business ever since he got grown and left high school.
Captain King was alive at this time, wasn't he?
Uh-huh.
Was Captain King alive at this time when you first came here?
No, Captain King was dead. Now, and Clayburgs were here. They were fine people. My husband went out there and shaved the old man till he couldn't shave him any longer. Old man Clayburgs. He lived to be a pretty old man.
Well, some people said that old man Cleaver is kind of hard to get along with. What would you think about that?
My husband has been in their home time after time. He said you wouldn't want finer people than the Claybergs were. Now, some people can't get along with anybody. Some people can always pick up all the treasure stuff and can't tell the good. But my husband says there wasn't a finer family ever lived around here than the Claybergs. And he's been in their homes time after time. They come in here with a big old, oh, what you call these big cars, and take him out there to shave Mrs. Clayburgh and then bring him back to his barber shop, because he had no way of going out there and back. Mr. Price was a barber here for 27 years.
Who were some of the other people in Kingsville at that time?
Well, that's Harry Murray and his wife. They're old-timers. And Miss... Our sheriff is just a poor... Let's see, what's his name?
Scarborough.
Scarborough. And his wife. They're old-timers. And he was a sheriff here for till he retired. He served 4 years. No, it was a four generation, wasn't it? His father. And he served, now his son is serving as a sheriff. That's why the four generation comes in. And the Horan girl is still living. Her mother run the first boarding house here. She's Mrs. What's her name, girls? She lives in front of the Presbyterian Church.
Oh, that was Ms. Horan.
Huh?
Horan.
No, Ms. Horan, this is her daughter. Ms. Horan lived in the other.
Oh, Chick Smith.
Yeah. Now, she could tell you about, a whole lot about the history of Kingsville, because she was a young girl and grew up here. And my husband didn't think he'd stay here when he first come here, but he wrote back to him and he said, well, it must be a pretty good town. They had 5 churches here, I believe. They had the Presbyterian, the Baptist, the Methodist, Presbyterian, Episcopalian, and the Catholics, made 6 churches. So they all had pastors. Oh, the best old people all passed on. I'm one out of 100. I mean, I guess I'm 1 out of 100 are still living. Me and old Harry Murray. Old Harry Murray's getting pretty old. He's not as old as I am, though. He was an engineer here till he retired. You talk with Harry Murray. He'll give you lots of dope. I imagine he inherits mine all right now.
I think so.
Lots of people's mind has left them, but I'm fortunate enough to keep my peace of mind I've always had.
Did Mr. Murray ever make any runs down the valley during the Mexican-American conflict?
I expect he did. You talk with him and he can tell you.
Oh, he was, yeah, he runs in the ground
there, lots. Maybe you can help him with that question. He run train here for years. Engineer on the north end and the south end both.
Did he ever tell you any stories about the events down the valley during that time?
No, I never did talk with him about the valley. You'll have to find somebody else's. Now, Murray might tell you something about the valley, because he used to go down there. I'll tell you one that could tell you. Is let me think of that name. Well, it just won't come to me just this moment. Your memory don't work when you want it to work. When you get as old as I am, young man.
I think you're doing real well. Do you remember when the first railroad came through Kingsville?
Well, that was before I come here.
Before.
He'd come through here in 1904, and the railroad was being built through here when the lumber that my house was built out of was hauled here from Alice in a wagon. Mr. Taylor would go over one day and fill his wagon up and then come back with that. And that lumber, my house is built out of, that lumber come from Alice over here. Now, if you want to see the old house, you can pass by it every day going to college. It's on 3rd and Santa Gertrude's. It's empty now. It's right on the corner. I've been told the corner looks mighty pretty now since they've made Santa Gertrude Street wider and fixed my corner with sidewalks and all. I was never able to build a sidewalk. You know, my money walks on. We raised 5 children. Now, if you ever get married and you go raising children, you know, it costs money to raise children. So, my youngest boy graduated out here at college. The other children all went out there but never did finish any. Oh, they went 1 year or something kind of like that. All 5 of my children went out there to school. During more time, my oldest son went out there and my daughter. And my little daughter, always called her. She got killed. She went out there and learned to be a welder. When this last war started. Well, now you see. Mr. Laws, you go to him now, and he'll give you a better of the citizens of Kingsville than I could. Because I don't believe this, but let me see. Laws is the only merchant that's left, I believe, he was in business when we come here. Raglan's building was still here, but they all changed hands, several of them. The Frato boys, the Frato boys could give you a good record of the town, because the boys were raised here, and the grandfather and father run the Flato hardware store till it went broke last winter. And the young man, now I don't know what he's doing, call him Flato 5. I don't know what his name is, do you, Mr. Burrish?
Charlie
Flato. Is that his name? Yes, sir. Oh, Charlie 5, yes, you're right. Now, he could give you a good history of the town. Have you out better than I can. Because he's young, his mind's not wore out like mine is. I don't know why you picked me out.
Well, so far you've given me a lot of information.
Old age is what you got to have for me. Well, Mrs. Burris over here is the same age I am. We're known as the Goldust Twins. My birthday's in July and hers is in September. We're both 93 years old.
What was that story you were telling me about the Goldust powder that first came out that
the Goldust Twins. Well, I don't know when Goldust washing powders was. Well, I call it manufactured. I guess that's what you'd call it. That soap was ground up and made a washing powder. And I can remember ever since I was a little girl of buying the Goldust Twin washing powders to wash with. And so something was said here about us. I told him, well, Goldust Twins are a little darkest. Here's a box of washing powders with a wash tub on there, with 2 little darkies in there, and the washing powder was Goldust Twins. And I told her we was Goldust Twins, only we'd live long enough to be white. I know you don't want that in your paper. Young man.
Do you recollect anything about A&I University when it first got started?
Well, I'll tell you, I'd have to go back to my books to get your numbers of that. Mr. Manning, Dr. Manning, is the mayor of our town. He gave you the history of all that when it started and all about it. Now, of course, I do remember our president was noted as president that wore the petticoat, and not president, governor of Texas, wore the petticoat. That was Ferguson. Now, that's all I remember. And we stood out there in the sun while they lectured for that college to be built here. And the reason it was built here, Coffers fought for it, but Coffers didn't have the land, and Clayburgh gave them the land to build. Now, this is all told to me. I don't know if it's the truth. Gave them the building, the land to build this college on. Now, I don't know whether they sold it to them or some of this. Citizens have to tell that. You can hear lots of things that's not so. But I was told that Clayburgh gave them that land to build that college out there. And when they first built the college, it was called as Teachers College. Just a little building out there that they had teachers that went there to revive their teaching business up, you see. Then it finally got where people wanted to come send their children, so it finally kept building until you see what we have now, the college now. Dr. Manning can tell you all about that, because he's one of the first business teachers out there.
Did he come here as a young man, or was he an old man?
He come here as a young man of high school. I believe we wore a plaid suit and a plaid cap. Lived in my neighborhood. I've known him ever since he come to Kingsville. And I've always found him a fair, square man. The reason I say that, he was a business manager in our church. And some of them wanted to ride things over, and he didn't want it that way. He wanted the truth and nothing but the truth. And so he'd stand up till he come back down and made things honest. That's one thing I admire about Dr. Manning. Lots of people don't like him, but I like a man that tells the truth. You didn't come here for that. You hear all things about people, but they always tell the bad things, but they never want to tell the good things. I find that's a good thing. Mr. Burris, what do you think about it? You don't talk much?
No, ma'am. I don't talk much.
Your tongue's tied?
Yeah.
Well, I guess my daughter says I always talk too much anyhow, so I guess I'd better stop. The old man, I guess he's tired of hearing my blow off.
Now I can sit here and visit me.